everybody. Here we are. You have tuned in to Paradigm Shifters here on www.bbsradio.com. And I am Veronica Entwistle, intuitive and energy counselor. And I have a very exciting paradigm shifter with me. Tonight's paradigm shifter is Gail Minogue, whose latest book is called Divine Design and How You Created the Life You Are Living. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you.
And I didn't tell people yet, but I think I got discombobulated at the beginning. Usually I have a different intro, but we were waiting quite a while and kind of forgot here.
We introduce ourselves.
So here's the deal. Gail is a numerologist and is really brilliant when it comes to, I mean, you might be brilliant in many things, but what you were talking about is how when you use numbers to key into your own blueprint, to your own life path, how you can really use your numbers to transcend difficulties and limitations. And Gail also talks about the world's numbers and the political numbers and how those are impacting what we see out there on the planet. So I don't know where to start with you, Gail, but I
Gosh.
Think maybe we should start with a thumbnail sketch on what each number says. What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of things to start with. Numbers are very important to our lives. We just really don't realize it. We always say we have lucky numbers, but we actually have numbers that we resonate to and that are very comfortable for us. And the numbers have different energies, and that's really what we're talking about, is the energy of numbers and how they combine, because there is a geometric pattern to everything here. The number, I can go right through the numbers very quickly if you would like me to do that.
I think it's a really good idea as an introduction. It's perfect.
Okay. Well, the number one, as you know, is a beginning. It's always a beginning. We really don't want to be number two. We always say we want to be number one. So that's the energy that launches, and that's like a Martin Luther King, a life path. And each person has a life path, a destiny, personality, talents, soul number, lots of numbers. But the main one is, of course, the date of birth. Totaling the entire date of birth, month, day, and full year.
So let's just stop here for a minute so everybody at home knows how to do their number if they don't already.
That's a good idea. You would just really total, it's very easy, the entire month to the entire day to the entire year, and you will get a compound number, and from that you will reduce it and see what that number is. It's a 1 through 9 number, and this is what I'm talking about, the energies of each of these reduced numbers. That's a very simple way to explain a very complicated system.
So if your number is like, mine is, or I'll do Bob's, his is like 10, 11, 1952, so you take every digit and
yes,
add it
you
up.
Yes, you do. You take every part of that, the 10, the 11, and the 1952.
Yeah, so you stretch them all out in a row and then add them.
Well, when I'm doing it, I work a different way with how I add, but basically, for someone who's just starting out, you would just do that, just total that together. And it's quite simple. It's really not arithmetic. It's just basically adding a few simple numbers.
I just thought that there are some people out there who really don't, I haven't had as much experience as others, so they might like be able to follow by doing their numbers as you go. So anyway, we're doing a thumbnail sketch of what each number represents, and we did a little bit of the one.
Mm-hmm. And the two is, you know, the one combines with something else, and that creates the two. Or to put it in a metaphor, the egg and the sperm unites, and that makes the three. So the number of the two is a receptive number. It's a feminine number. And that's where actually in is a 1,000 years of the number two, or the year 2000 to 2999. So 1,000 years of learning the energy of the number two for all of us. And that has to do with diplomacy, tact, patience, compromise, interdependence. It's no longer a unilateral situation. It's a bilateral. It's always working with some type of partner or working with someone to create what you want. And that's the only way.
You have to share?
Share. You get to share. And so we're learning how to do that. We've only been doing it for 8 years out of 1,000. So you consider where we've been for the last 1,000 and where we'll be 1,000 years from now. And so we don't want to get discouraged because we're still making unilateral decisions. But the number two is about diplomacy, tact, and combining your forces with someone else's and learning how to do that. And that makes the three, which is the creation or the creative. So people who have energy of the three are very creative. The three is a creative number. And that number can write, it can dance, it can sing. It's, you know, that's Hillary Clinton's life path, is the three. So she loves to speak and write and has a very hearty laugh and all of that. She's quite, there's quite a bit more to her than what you see, obviously, in a lot of the media. All of these candidates have a lot more than what you see and a lot less than what you see. But the number three is the creative number. The number four is the solid, the hard worker, the producer. That's Oprah Winfrey. That's Donald Trump. These are producers of the world. The four takes all that of creation and gives it substance and form and productivity, which is in the four. So these are the worker bees. These are the people you want to have work for you because they are, that's what they like to do. They like to work and continue right into the time they leave. They want to produce and see results. The number five is the agent of change, and that is the energy that looks back and sees what it's created from one to four and says, I need to make some change here. So these are the individuals and countries and cities that create change. So the United States is a five country. It is always changing, and it is the catalyst for other countries' changes. It's a great marketing person. It is a person who loves to travel and can, needs desperately to have freedom in order to even survive. So five is about making change and constructive change, not destructive change. The number six, after we've done all that, it's sort of a domestic number. It's a number of compassion, family, children. It's a higher vibration of the three. So it's like 3, 6, 9. So it's even, it has all that creative and some more of what the three has in it. So it's creative, domestic, children, family. It's sort of a, after having all that change, it's sort of a settling in. And it's also the healer and the counselor. You see a lot of people who want to take care of other people or feel they know what's best for other people carrying a sixth life path. And these are a lot of your therapists, social workers, and, of course, George Bush, who feels he knows what's best. That's his life path as well.
He's a healer?
He is more of a person who really feels he knows what's best for people to do.
Oh, wow.
He really comes from that point. I feel I know what's best for you, my children, or my countrymen or my fellow Americans. And
well,
so,
it is a subjective reality, so.
Yeah, his is, you know, he's played his role and he's about to exit off the stage. So after we've done all that, there's time for rest and restoration, and that's the seven. And the seven is the number that returns into itself to restore itself, to think, and to develop the higher mind. So these are the people who have really a life path where they're learning how to think and analyze and to really be more, shall we say, attract to itself rather than chase around after it. These are your philosophers. They need to be with smart people because they really, they may put up with people who are not smart, but they really don't like it. And they need their time alone because they're learning how to develop the mind. And the seven is a, sort of a finishing number because we use it a lot to, in nature, it rules paradosity, such as soil rests in the seventh year, water takes 7 years to circumnavigate the globe, come back to where it began. The seventh day of rest, it's these kinds of things.
What was that wonderful word you used? Something-osity.
Pardon me? Paradosity, the periods charts in nature, you will see the same pattern of the number seven.
Oh, interesting.
So seven is, anyone with a seven is very, very environmentally affected, likes to be in nature a lot, is most comfortable in a natural setting, or needs to get to it as often as possible. California has a strong seventh presence. It has a strong one presence. So it's a smart state, and it also is very environmentally aware, and it also loves to initiate and begin things, the number one. So the number eight, after all of that, and you've thought things through, hopefully, you begin this manifestation in the material world of, shall we say, handling money and power and authority. So these are the people who are the bosses and the leaders run the companies, own the show, and tell everybody else what to do.
Hmm.
These are the people who head up banks and corporate, and they need to be their own boss. These do not work well for working anyone else. They're in this lifetime to learn how to use their own power and how to use all of their resources, time, energy, money. That's a number eight energy. Remember when we were 80s? and Gordon Gekko from Wall Street movie said greed is good. That was the 80s, and we had big shoulder pads, and we walked around, and we had all these new financial instruments. Those were the 80s.
Hmm.
And now, when we finish all this up, the order of everything, we end it all in the number 9, which is the final number. It is the number of someone like a Gandhi who gives without worrying about what's in it for him or her. And it's the number of detachment and letting go. So the lesson of that 9 is learn to detach, let go, and to serve and help and forgive before you leave. So it completes a cycle of time that a soul has been here. Whenever you have a 9 life path, it usually signifies a need to learn to do this before you go to another level of evolution and consciousness. So the 9s are usually the humanitarians. They make excellent shrinks, and they're usually very, very good in situations where they can detach themselves but serve. That he's sort of like the wise person who's seen it all and can now deliver some wise words to the rest of it. It's the final number. So it has 3 levels of that 3 again, 3, 6, and 9. So we say someone is dressed to the 9s. It means they are the ultimate in beauty and art. And we use 9s a lot. The cat doesn't have 8 lives. It has 9 lives. We have 9 innings. We have 9 months. It continues in a pattern. All of these things, you'll hear the slang expressions, you know, he's behind the 8 ball, you know.
That's the Powerball, right?
The Powerball, the Powerball. And cities that have a strong 8 vibration, like Chicago, you can feel that energy of that power in Chicago. Los Angeles, where I am, has a 3 life path, so it's the creative cradle, actually, for the entire country. And so what comes here is they're attracted here because of the ability to create.
And that comes from their birth date?
Yes, the date of birth for the city. Each city has a date of birth. Each country has a date of birth. Each town has a date of birth. Each corporation, each purse, everything is numerical.
So let's talk about, I love all that. So let's apply those numbers as we talk about, like, what's going on in the world today? We keep hearing about an evolution, and we're coming toward 2012. And we're coming to this crazy election with all that's gone on. Can you give us some kind of, say, the relationship of the United States to globalization? What do the numbers tell us about that?
Well, the United States is the 5 life path. It's the agent of change. It was born July 4th, 1776. Remember I said about the 4? It has a prominent 4, being born on a 4-day, and it has a prominent 4. So it's a very hard-working country. The people in it work hard. And they also have a 5 life path, so it loves to play hard. And so it's got this sort of, you know.
It's like George Bush.
Yeah, it loves to, he's a perfect cowboy example of America, where it was at the time he was elected. He was a reflection of us. So we can't really, you know, complain too much. You know, we got what we really put out. We got it back. And so now we don't like it, we can make the change. But actually, when America was born, back in 1776, it was the initiation of what I call this Renaissance period that is approximately 300 years. And it's a cycle that comes approximately every 5 to 600 years. We had the last one started in Europe, okay, and then this one started in, quote, the New World. And this is coming into the, probably I would say, the last 50 or so years of it. So we've had tremendous change. If you go back to 1776, and all of it was because of the catalyst of this country to begin it. Just like the other one began in Italy, this one began here. So you see us going out and changing the laws across the world and, you know, setting up capitalism across the world. Capitalism has been the tool of the Renaissance to bring these ideas, these agent of change ideas, into the rest of the world, whether it's religious or financial, et cetera, et cetera. And that's exactly.
So I missed what started in Italy. Were you talking about the Renaissance?
The last Renaissance.
Yeah, okay.
That started in Italy around the late 1300s. And so that was going on around the late 1300s. And America was to start to launch this one that really began around the 1800s. And so just as that one had the printing press to bring out information because they were basically uneducated, that they were serfs and all that kind of a setup.
Mm-hmm.
We brought out the internet, which was educating the world and taking it into areas that don't even have electricity. So we've really been an incredible catalyst of change, and
that's the catalyst of globalization right there.
Catalyst of globalization. And the internet is a metaphor to connect. It connects the entire world. And so this was part of it. And, you know, we had 100 years of what we'll call very advanced inventions, so we say, from the late 1800s to the late 1900s. And now we're going into a totally different level of really what we call high technology. But it all came out of this period.
And so interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah, so we're doing our job. And if you look at it in the face of it, even though we complain, et cetera, here in the United States, we've really shaken up the world, awakened the world, and it's spreading ourselves in the disguise of capitalism. But there was always a higher purpose for all of it rather than just sell Coca-Cola.
And McDonald's.
But you see, there's a democracy movement now going on in China. And it just this earthquake is a good example of it, where you have this compassion among the citizens without the government. You see them beginning to, you know, have moments of silence and do some good and raise some money among themselves for to help themselves. And you see unions being formed in China. You see about where we were, you know, maybe 80 years ago. So it's all part of this bigger picture of which the five life paths of us is doing our work. And we play hard, and we work hard, and people can't understand, why do you work so hard? You get so little vacation. But being born on a four-day, that's our style.
Well, so here we have, for example, I'm just throwing things at you here. We have India kind of rising out of a rather amazing, paradoxical, you know, the epitome of spirituality and incredible slums and all that, and it's developing quite a bit of its own marketing, and it's developing quite a hot little market section too, isn't it now?
Well, it's really an interesting place because it's basically an illiterate country that is striving and has incredible accomplishments in technology, advancement in medicine, and yet it has a very, very weak infrastructure. It has people who are just beginning to get newspapers. In areas, they're learning how to read. So it's got it's so polarized in many ways.
I know, it's really extreme. I was just thinking as you were talking how, as a change agent, as America is a change agent, and I was asking about globalization, we really have, from this country, stimulated some of India's latest markets, though, haven't we?
Oh, yes. We educate them. Bring them here, and we stimulate the world. We were born with a very unique chart, what I call a very sacred chart. We were very tied to the Freemasons who began this country and what's behind the Freemasons. And it really goes back to ancient days, so we have a great deal of that underlying us. Even the grid for the city of Washington is very much coming from what I'll call sacred geometry. So, and our money has always had a quality to it of sacred symbols, especially on the dollar bill, when you interpret the dollar bill. And so we really didn't just sort of land willy-nilly. We had what I'll call a divine purpose, and that is part of it is to advance humanity. So people really don't even think so much about the larger picture of all of this. I have a new DVD on the New World Renaissance, and that's really about what we're in. And I speak to where we have come from, and where actually wars are down and death by wars are down, and illiteracy is greatly diminished. There's some really very, very positive things going on the planet. But we don't read about that. I just wrote in my newsletter, I said, I don't think most people realize that even the small country of Qatar, which is next to Saudi Arabia in the Middle East, gave $100 million for Katrina relief.
Wow, really?
Nobody knows these things because, first of all, they only read American news or hear American news. And you need to get information outside of here and also travel outside of here. Until 9-1-1, only about 15% of Americans had a passport, mm-hmm. and now about 28% of Americans have passports. That means that more than 70% of the Americans never, ever have left this country,
mm-hmm.
which is really remarkable.
You know, I want to ask something else. I'm not an American. I'm a Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm living in America, and I've been here for quite a while, and I certainly have had my green card for a long time, and I'm pleased with where I live. So it's not like that. It's just interesting roots, you know. So I just am fascinated lately at how the media has had a kind of a control here, and I feel like people are becoming really aware of that.
They are.
And I'm always sort of chuckling to my many American friends, and I say, this is a revolutionary country, but people seem to be fairly kind of numbed right now, which I kind of blame the media for, you know.
Media is part of it. You know, it's been like what we'll call a dumbing down,
yes.
of Americans.
Yes.
And Americans have sort of, there's so many things happening so quickly right now because we're in an age of Aquarius,
mm-hmm.
and we're in this shift of everything. It's moving very, very fast, and we have some incredible astrological transits going on at the same time. So this is the age of technology, and at lightning speed. And for people who are really just still trying to figure out their cell phone stuff, and before another version has come out, so a great many of us are you know, they're exhausted.
Well, there was another question I had, which is, I see you might have answered it, actually. I was just thinking, with all the technology and with the raising of, like, the common people's intelligence in a certain way because of the Internet and all of that, I think there is a waking up going on, and a lot of people are aware that, for example, we've been a little controlled by the media in this country and so on. So where is the word? What is the big change? What about 2012? Is this a revolutionary time in America itself with American people regarding, I don't know, health care and the change of the social climate?
Well, I don't see the end of the world at all in 2012, and I don't interpret it the same way that I think 2012, there's cycles and ancient information about 2012, and again, another cycle has passed. But it's more, you know, it comes down to this level where those who are in servitude will be reversed, and those will be the masters of those who are now the masters. But I remember back to Y2K.
Anybody? I know, that was funny.
And that was funny because people love fear and they sell it and people buy it. And so they gave workshops on it, and they gave workshops on Y2K, what you need to do, and they're doing the same thing with 2012, and we're gearing ourselves up to, wow, some major event. Well, the big bigger event is already starting here in the United States, and it started at the end of last year with a transit that brings us back to exactly the same time as the American Revolution and an alignment that was at that time. So we're making a cycle back to the time when we began this country, and we are going to go forward with that same type of energy, and that will stay with us for at least 15, 16 years. So we're going back to the time, it's like people are waking up and say, wait a minute, you lied to me. Wait a minute, this isn't right, and wait a minute, I found this out. You know, I got this information. So it's going to be, you know, a lot of people being caught with their pants down in the media and in the government and in finances. And Americans are beginning, just starting to wake up, because it has to affect first the local level,
mm-hmm.
where it squeezes them, and then they start to really join, unite. But it's a very revolutionary period. I'm not saying we're going to have revolution in the street, but we are going through a very revolutionary period to bring us back to what we were all about.
How can we use the numbers for that? Is this the year the world is in, or is this the year America's in? Or
this is particularly the one for America.
Mm-hmm.
This is particularly for America. It'll affect the world, but it will really bring home to really reconfigure itself, restructure itself for America. And America is in a number one year right now.
Okay.
So it's really been launched this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say look for about a 15-year cycle of this.
Of recreating
the recreating
sort of
itself. Mm-hmm, to
recreating
about,
the status quo and the rules and
yes,
the ethics and the
yes,
integrity.
Yes, exactly. Government laws, even right down to banking, where why was this Federal Reserve form? What is it doing and do we need it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this type of energy going on.
And what about the IRS? What's
I've never done the IRS. I have no
idea. I'm
kind
of teasing you anyway.
I have no idea about it. I just, you know, the IRS is wonderful. This, we leave it in peace.
Well, it just, anyway, so when you're talking about that, I'm feeling like the numbers probably indicate, like when we talk about 2012, I'm sure we could use numbers to see the morphing of our collective.
Well, the 2012 is a 5 year.
Oh, okay. Well, there.
You know,
yeah.
It's a five, which is change,
mm-hmm.
And it's also an election year. And I really feel this year was this election is really not anything compared to the one that's coming in 2012.
Hmm.
Where a lot of things are in place already for whoever wins that they're just going to be dealing with. 2012 is the year to pay attention to for an election, and to see what candidate comes in at 2012. And to see if the candidate itself, himself or herself, has a five life path. Because that's a true sign of the agent of change for this country. We still don't have it. It's not in Barack Obama or John McCain. It's neither one of theirs. I'm not saying they won't do a good job.
So who had it? JFK or?
No. Franklin Delano Roosevelt had it. Mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln had it. Mm-hmm. And these are the big people that you recall from history who really did something to move us forward.
Hmm.
And we don't have one. We haven't had one run for office in a long time. And so I keep looking, and it didn't show up in this election at all. The only one who had it didn't run, and that was Michael Bloomberg in New York.
And so you, when you're looking for that, you're not only looking for Soul Path, are you? You're looking for also names.
I'm looking at the whole chart, but I particularly look at the date of birth, what it totals to.
Mm.
And that's the telltale sign of someone who really, this is a person who can progress us. And so we're not ready for that. It's not here.
Mm.
So we really, the next 3-4 years, let's say the next 4 years to the election of 2012, there's going to be a lot of shakeout and a lot of bumbling and a lot of trial and error and a lot more, I would say, clamping down by the government. It's never had this situation to work with. It really doesn't know what to do.
What do you mean clamping down by the government?
More regulation.
Mm-hmm.
More regulation in all areas. More regulation, some limits in all areas.
Hmm. That's really interesting. I remember when I was studying radio some years back is when the whole deregulation thing came in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been fraught with both, like when you talk about the higher purpose of America being a one and a change agent,
being
it's also
five.
Been fraught with some out-of-control negative stuff as well, right?
Well, five, which is America is the life path of five, if five indulges itself, you think of the five senses, if five can go way overboard. So we have 30 flavors of ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and then we have clinics where you can lose weight, and mm-hmm. we have extreme diets of all kinds where you can lose weight. And then we have the same, we have, it, in all areas, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just coming out of a transit, America is, where we sort of blew up for about 15 years,
mm-hmm.
And that was just shown up in the size of the body, the size of the houses, golly, just in so many areas. Even we expanded in airfare, airways, we had more planes. And now as soon as this period began, the beginning of this year, airfares have gone up, reduction in flights. People are concerned now about health and really concerned and beginning to pay attention. And here comes what I call the restrictions, even on ourselves. We begin to restrict ourselves. The government begins to restrict. And we begin to conserve and work with limits.
And do you think because we've just started a 2,000-year cycle in the two,
yeah.
then we're actually showing or revealing that we're looking after each other a little better?
We will.
So we're going to cavort together better.
We'll cavort. Hopefully cavort. That's a good word.
I love what you're talking about politically. So talk a little bit about your DVD again, and then we'll go on with some more questions.
Oh, my DVD, I have a new 90-minute DVD on this new renaissance, how it compares to the last one, what it's about, what examples are going on, and what you can anticipate over the next several years. But the whole purpose of this, and that has to do with big changes in religion, and, you know, we had the last one in Europe brought in, the Protestant Church came out of it, and this one has significance in a working with the mind and becoming through the mind. So you see development of science of mind, Scientology, Unity Church, religious science.
New thought, all kinds of
all these new, quote, thought having to do with the mind and away from the old religion of the sky god, the sky god. Because prior to this time, we go back several thousand years, we, you know, God was not necessarily man-based. Sometimes God has been space-based or time-based. Right now it's man-based God. But that's going away, and it takes time. We don't have things that just happen overnight.
Well, tell me this. What do you think about, and I kind of like this notion, so it's not notion to me. It's kind of vibrational reality. But bringing in that the through the universe, we get these downloads of wisdom or consciousness. And that's what's coming up lately is our ability to create our reality becomes kind of a deep, deep impulse or deep imprint in the collective, which it wasn't necessarily before.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that? And what
Yes, the word will is a new, the individual, let's say the word individual is a fairly new word. It's only been around for a few hundred years. And just the thought of an individual versus a collective mentality where you kind of do what you're told.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole idea of that you are a you know, say a spirit or a spark, you are an individual spark or whatever, is really going deep into the consciousness now.
And you're the only one in the universe that's you. That's very exciting.
It's real, you know, it's we had religions for a few thousand years, a couple of thousand years that basically controlled us. And
I think maybe that's where the media took its lessons.
Well,
sorry, I shouldn't say that.
The media is, you know, God bless the media. We're the ones who really are, we create these things and they reflect our thinking. So when we're ready to shift and make changes, you'll see changes in the media.
Well, I think that's what I was sort of implying that, or saying that, people are actually beginning to ask for that, call for that, command it, demand it. That's why so many of us are on internet radio as well, I think.
Yeah, this is definitely a growing medium here.
Yeah, it's very exciting, isn't it?
The internet is the connector.
Mm-hmm.
It's a net. And if you can just picture a net being dropped around the world, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm. I always think it's kind of like entrainment, so we eventually don't need it. We'll just communicate with each other through
Well, that's eventually, yes.
Yes.
We will, you know, once we're able to use and master our minds, which right now we're just kind of learning, we've been working on an emotional level for 2,400 years.
And that's quite a while.
That's quite a while. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's also talk about the impact of names. I've always been curious about something. When numerologically somebody breaks the components down of one's name, you know, I have friends who've changed their names in order to change their numbers, but I'm questioning if your soul is the one that chooses your name right at the beginning because it has a deep impact on you. Does changing your name have that much impact?
Not necessarily. What happens is you're ready to take on a certain energy. It's usually at that time you will change your name to get more of that energy. Whether you handle it well or not, it's really a change in your consciousness to accept that energy. And having said that, you can never lose what created for you before birth, was it your name. That is yours. And if you have missing numbers, etc., they are missing.
Hmm.
If you have a certain personality, it's not going away. It's all created before birth, and you take this name and you impress it upon your parents' subconscious to give to you at birth. You name yourself. So this is something that most people think, well, I'm going to go out, I don't like my name. You can, once you're here, you can call yourself, you know, anything, you know, Bob, I don't care. But it's it's just what you like to use here, and you want that vibration. But that same blueprint is working 24 hours a day, the one you came in with, and that's the one you are on. It's like Madonna actually has four names, but she only uses Madonna. And she has a lot of eight in that quality, and I'm sure she didn't know at the time she called herself Madonna that she would end up with that eight energy. I don't think she was missing in the eight, but she subconsciously was ready and prepared to take on the big picture, and so she became Madonna alone without any other name.
So that did that override? Did she have weakening names?
Oh, no. No, it doesn't override. It's just that she now, it helps her with her own power. That
so
energy.
It does help to change your name.
Pardon me?
It does help to change.
It can also make it worse.
Okay.
Most people don't go that way. And if you go to somebody to change your name, they're not going to tell you this could make your situation worse. But, they, you know, most people are hell-bent on if they want a name change, you just start using it. It's just like, how do you call yourself, you know, a great orator? Just say you are. Okay, mm-hmm. So if you want a name change, just start using that name.
And that impact will
and
work.
That impact, itself. Right. You mm-hmm. just start using it.
So tell people how, if you don't mind, would you tell people how to, I want to say several things at once. That's because I'm a Gemini, I think. Tell people how to figure out the impact of their name.
Well, it's the impact of your name, the entire name is your destiny.
Mm-hmm. It's and your destiny, okay.
Yeah, your entire name totaled together, all of your letters.
And does that include married names? And
no, never ever include a married name. Never include, like, you know, Bob the third, fourth, or fifth.
Okay.
Junior, yes, but not third, fourth, fifth. Those are called earth placements. We just know where you are. You came in on the third one. Good, good, good for you. Has nothing to do with your name. So the junior, yes, but you don't use a christening name. You don't use a nickname. You use the entire name at birth. And from that, you see, are there numbers missing? Do you have any ones? Do you have any twos? What's missing? What's all there? And that tells the story of karmic issues you're going to be working with in this life.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So the absence of numbers tells the story. And an excessive amount of numbers. I did a reading one time for a woman. She had 10 ones in her name. Good God. So she had, and this, the numbers in your name and the letters in your name show a lot about your past lives. And with 10 ones, she had a lot of what I call very independent lives, where she was the pioneer. Nobody could tell her what to do, etc. And this was the same way she was in this life. If you were speaking to an audience, she's the one always getting up, raising her hand, and explaining things. Even, you know, she just wouldn't shut up. You know, because it's an excessive amount. So if you
but now wait a minute, that's her consonants or vowels or both.
She mm-hmm. had an excessive amount. Like S is a 1. It's the number 19. But A is a 1. Mm-hmm. You see? And J is a 1. So if you have a lot of these letters in your name, you may have an excessive amount of that number,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily, it shows a lot about what you've been doing before you got here.
I didn't know that. So it's a pretty interesting karmic trail, huh?
There's definitely a karmic trail. There's definitely a trail of karma and a trail of past life experiences that you're using in this life to assist you or that you want that energy to be here with you. You know, pronouncements, say you've been an artist or a creative person, you may have a tremendous number of threes in your name. Or say you were a writer many lives, you're going to have several L's, particularly if they're together, like the word Jill. You know, or Bill or William.
Okay, so is that all in your book here?
Some of this is in my book, yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
And also tell me about a little bit, tell people about colors. So I noticed you've got a whole thing on colors and the body and numbers.
Yeah, each number has a body part. So, for instance, if you're a 5, which America is a 5, then the body part that controls is the digestive system. So what does America have a lot of problems with? Digestion, indigestion. And
so we got fat people and diets and
we
fat
have
foods.
We just can't process
food.
All that it comes in. So it all has to do with processing in and eliminating. So it also controls the colon and the stomach of basically the digestive area, the colon and all of that. So we have a lot of issues about our digestion and indigestion because a five lives like four lives in one. And so it has a lot of living to do, and it brings in a whole lot more than it can possibly handle.
Oh, I see.
So America is sort of overindulged, and then it has to go restore itself. And that's kind of what we're going to start doing. So you see people watching their food, mm-hmm. Watching their gas.
Watching their colon.
They're doing colon cleansings and,
oh,
good God, you know, anti-acid stuff. It's all five. And so the body part of that five, and the color is what I call the blue, like a marine blue or royal blue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we have the color one is red, and that the color two is orange, and the color three is yellow, and the color four is green. And
just about the spectrum. Are these associated with the chakras as well?
Yes, and also they each have a quality about them that you need to protect, that you need to take care of. Like if you have a lot of five or a five life pads or something like that, you need to take care of your digestive tract. You know, maybe use heating pads on it once in a while and lay off of stuff that irritates it. So if you just take the spectrum and you can just take those colors, and you know, one through seven, and purple being seven, but each one of these colors does something to the body. I mean, it really... For instance, if you were trying to transmute negative energy around you, say you're meeting people, you basically, you know, they drain you or they have issues with these people,
mm-hmm.
then it might be good for you to wear purple or to visualize purple around you, on your feet and your head and the back of you. So you sometimes you're not even conscious of what you're putting on, but you may be drawn to that day, or you're going to speak in front of public. So you may want to put red around your throat or yellow, or because that's the mind color too.
But
it has a lot to
because
do.
You're a one.
A one.
Like if you're a
I wouldn't
one.
Wear too much red, and I would be careful where I put it. And particularly, for instance, the number of the earth or the green, shall we say, for four. Say you have cancer. Well, green promotes growth. Well, I wouldn't wear green.
I see, yeah. So it's all, yeah, and interactive.
They're very interactive.
Mm-hmm. So are people often strengthened by the color that goes with their own number?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you're saying unless there's an illness of some sort, and then you've got to look at it differently.
Yeah, or if you have too much of it, you know, you may be already stressed, so you start wearing red, now you'll really be overstressed. But if you need some more energy, you may want to wear red shoes.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that goes with the number one. You want to move forward and initiate and get going, so you may want to put red on your feet.
Hmm. I love red shoes, actually.
Yeah, well, there's a whole, you know, films have been written about red shoes.
I know.
They have a real wonderful metaphor in our society.
Yeah.
Because they do move you.
Mm-hmm, that's great.
Yeah, there's so many things we do, and we're not consciously aware of the significance of them, and even things we say.
Well, you know, Gail, I want to know more about you before we run out of time.
Okay.
How did you break into all of this, for starters, and what are your numbers? Can you share at least a little bit?
Well, I'm a five life path.
Oh, you're a five.
Oh, yeah.
What character you must be, huh?
So my life is at least four lives in this one life, as my children would definitely agree with.
Are you taking care of your digestion?
Definitely have to. Definitely have to. I've learned over the years to really baby it. The other thing I would tell you is if you have a prominent O in your name, particularly in your last name,
mm-hmm.
there's always sugar issues involved here, inherited that.
Mm.
So the person who has that needs to be very careful about eating sugar and products that turn into sugar.
Mm.
You know, like too much white flour, you know, white rice. Just stay away from white. And so
I have O's, so I guess I better be careful, huh?
Yes, because you can get high sugar or low sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sugar issue that's inherited there. But my life path is a five, and I came to this very accidentally well over 25 years ago. And there's no accident here. So we say when we're ready, it will find you. And it found me when I was in Houston, Texas, working for a large corporation, and I had what we'll call an epiphany moment. I had a visit, And it led me to study the Pythagorean theorems, which are interesting, and to study this type of energy from Pythagoras, who had the mystery schools in Crotona back in about 600 and something B.C.
And that's where you got into sacred geometry?
Yeah, and then you start to get into the energy of numbers, and then you start to go into much more, and then you begin to see the cycles. I've actually been a commodity broker since the 80s. And,
well, that requires a few numbers, too.
So the commodity really deal with futures trading, and I realized the metaphor for myself was really dealing with future and being able to see things and look at things. And this is also true when I work with a client, to help them to see what they came in with and to where they're going with it, if they want to. I mean, we all have somewhat of free will, but that plan is not leaving you. The soul created it. And so I came into this and started studying, never thinking this is what I would do. Good Lord. And so now I speak, I teach, I write, and I do private consultations for people, and it's nothing at all what I thought I would do.
I love your book, Divine Design.
Thank you.
How you created the life you are living, because it's... Now, one of the things, I spent more time on your website than in every aspect of this book, but I love the way it's laid out. And it's kind of in-depth, even though it's really pithy in small bits that you've written, you know.
Because it's a very deep subject, but we don't want to put people to sleep, and we don't want to confuse them. We want to, you know...
Well, they have to interact with your information, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And they also, it's just there. I think things need to be simplified, and... so I enjoy doing that, and I, you know, my soul number is a 44, which is really a master number from prior times. I don't have any missing numbers in my name. And so in this lifetime, I really enjoy bridging the two worlds of the material world and living in the business world, working with that, and being in the world, the unseen world, where of which everything begins.
Well,
in that world.
You seem to have an understanding of the great, what is it, zeros and ones, that's computer language or something?
Zeros and ones, that's
it. Of the
it.
Entire
you got it.
Picture.
Zeros and ones, because it all starts with a point that becomes the circle or the line.
Right.
And that's
okay.
It. Because you could look at any shape, and that's always the same.
Isn't
so the
wonderful.
Zeros and one is very significant.
Well, and I have to close this off only because we're out of time, not because I'm not fascinated and want to pick your brains. But I'm going to meet you down at the Dowsers Conference pretty soon in Santa Cruz, if people want to look that up. And I'd really recommend you look up Gail's website, Gail Minogue, MINOGUE.com. She has some really wonderful snippets and interviews and writings. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
And your book is called, say the book.
The book is called Divine Design, How You Created the Life You Are Living. And the DVD is called The New World Renaissance.
Wonderful. Well, I've so enjoyed this talk with you, Gail. And
oh, well,
you've
been wonderful to have me, and let me just blabble on here.
Well, I learned a lot. I'm going to go off and do my numbers now.
Okay.
I'll do my phone number. Does that make a difference?
Only the last four digits. It's not a pronounced number. Your house number is extremely important. Your apartment number is extremely important.
All right.
And
well,
your car license is how you want to be seen.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for that final bit of light, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks very much,
Gail.
Okay,
bye.
Bye. So that was our paradigm shifter, and she's teaching you that you can shift the paradigm in your world by getting to know your numbers and also helping us understand that there is a higher plan in the, for example, the country's numbers and the whole global point of view and the universal point of view. I love that. And a woman with a lot of love and a lot of spirit. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and guess what? We have a paradigm shifter next week as well, and her name is, I hope I pronounce this right, we have actually two paradigm shifters next week. Instead of doing Radiance, I'm doing a paradigm shifter at 4, who is Ellie Drew, and she's doing conscious manifesting, and she's got an amazing ceremony called the Sacred Forgiveness Ceremony, and it's creating amazing healings in people. She's one of the speakers at the up-and-coming Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz. Look it up, westcoastdowsers.com. And Amalia Comatero, and she's got Earth's spiritwisdom.com. You can look her up, and we're going to talk with both of them about contacting different aspects of consciousness and really making a change. They're both belonging to the Dowsers Conference, and of course, the Dowsers are really, they used to be water diviners, but now it's including many, many brilliant beings who are working with energies, which is what I'm doing, and other paradigm shifters we've had are doing, and they're collecting over this conference over the July 4th weekend in Santa Cruz. So I'm having a number of them because I'm going to be at that conference as well, and I thought, why not pluck from this amazing, vibrant nest that's going on? So next week it'll be Ellie Drew from Tucson and Amalia Camatero from, she's originally from Australia, I think she's from Sedona right now, and it's going to be pretty exciting to talk to both of them. And Thursday night I'm going to be working with Jackie Selvitti and her team. Those have been stunning shows on ET healing. They're really sometimes hard work. You really go into a lot of subconscious awakenings to the subconscious programmings in the collective, what her team is, who they are, and how they're working with us to help us extricate ourselves from what? The mind control that comes from letting our subconscious dominate without us knowing even what it is. So I will see you on Thursday night. Maybe I'll see you and you won't see me, but you can always email me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle, no H in Entwistle, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. I really enjoy some of your feedback. Not too many of you have been writing lately, but I love your feedback of the shows, and I like hearing results that you get. And also, what are your preferences? Who would you like to hear about? Give me some suggestions. Again, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, or you can call me for a session, 510-595-5564, and that's on my website, VeronicaEntwistle.com. All right, we'll see you next week, and I'm very excited about these up-and-coming paradigm shifters. Much love to you, and thank you so much for listening. Blessings.